So the story for me, it starts, of course, reading books about nutrition, but I'm building a habit of reading books. So now I like reading because where I come from, it's frowned upon. We don't really care for reading where I come from. So I'm starting to like the books. I'm starting to like, you know, to have more information. And so I then say, hey, well, if I could do this with my health just by reading a few books, maybe I could do this with my little. So I started reading more and more books.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, person you're about to hear from is proof that you can build eight figures without major financing. Tay Sweat, Dynamic Success, your journey from launching Sweat for Life to eight-figure success. How does this happen, Tay?
Honestly, it's pure grit on my end and a lot of luck.
I always need luck. I mean, absolutely. I always say I'd rather be lucky than smart.
Absolutely.
And anyone who's successful says that too, because it's a lot easier to be lucky than it is to be smart. But if you're smart, maybe you get to hold on to some of it. If you're lucky, you know, you never know.
That's right.
So, like, tell us where you grew up, what it was like growing up there, and how you made this transition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Single mom. She worked multiple jobs. So, very hardworking mother. I have a younger brother. So, it was two of us, two boys, single mom raising two boys. And honestly, the environment that I grew up in wasn't the best for, education. It wasn't the best for healthy eating. I had a lot of, things that I had to face.
They call that a food desert, right?
That's
so
right.
The only place that you can get is fast food, mm-hmm. which is, if you consider that you wouldn't put gasoline in your car that was diluted with 50% water, you shouldn't be putting food in your body that has zero nutritional value and basically is going to kill you over time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And yeah, that was pretty much my upbringing. So I played, very active in sports through my childhood, but still, even, being so active, I ended up gaining a lot of weight. So at maybe 15, 16, I was 340 pounds.
Oh my God. Wow.
Very overweight. Yeah, very overweight. I had ended up getting diabetes, high blood pressure, all the stuff that comes with the fast food.
Metabolic syndrome, man, that's cool. High blood pressure, high sugar, high cholesterol. I'm sure your triglycerides were through the roof as well, right?
Absolutely. You're nailing that on it. Hey, that's it.
Yeah, man. Hey, been there, done that. I used to weigh like my peak, close to 50 pounds more than I weigh right now. And not quite as extreme as your case, but still it puts a toll on your body, your limbs, your knees, your shoulders, your hips, everything. Your body was just not designed to really put up with that. So something changed though for you. And also I assume in the situation you were in, it was hard to avoid negative interactions with law enforcement too, as well, right?
Absolutely.
As if you didn't have enough.
Absolutely. So you're layering it on, right? So you have all these things that are, essentially against you. But for me, I'm a very positive person. If you know me, I'm always walking around with a smile on my face. So even, back then, that was my case. So I'm looking around I'm not the brightest, but I'm very common with my sense. So I'm very common sense type of person. And I'm very logical. So essentially, I'm looking around and people who have the things that I have, diabetes, high blood pressure, overweight, they're a little bit older, maybe 10 years, 5 years older. I'm noticing they're having issues. They're dying. They're, you know, they're going through things that I see myself going down that same road, and I don't want to deal with these things. So I tell myself, hey, if we have the same qualities or we're sharing the same illness, I should change this because I don't want that result. And that's literally where the light bulb went off in my head. And from there, I started studying at a very young age. I started studying nutrition. I was walking around high school with a gallon of water. Like literally, I flipped the switch and changed, you know, my trajectory. So fast forward, I was losing, you know, over 120 pounds. I got down to maybe 180 pounds. Diabetes went away. High blood pressure and heart disease and all subsiding.
You stop eating garbage. It's amazing how your body is a self-correcting mechanism, organism. And probably, I would venture to say your thinking cleared up. You probably had foggy, you wake up and your brain, you just have brain fog from all that sugar floating around there, all those carbohydrates. You cut them out, and all of a sudden your body's burning ketones, and you have such clarity, and then you can work on the external world. You worked on the internal world, right?
Absolutely. Spot on. And yeah, that's exactly what was happening. You know, fasting. So yeah, a big part of my journey came from fasting, and like you say, into ketosis. And
love your story, man, because so many of you out there don't do this. And it's not that hard, you know. All you got to do is shut your mouth. You're not gonna become healthy going to the gym, although exercise is certainly a pillar of good health and vital to good health, activity. But if you shut your mouth, you stop eating garbage and fast. Fasting, I've done it myself. Most I was able to do is 3.5, almost 4 days. Sounds like you were like on week-long fasts, huh?
Actually, no. So at the time, because I was still very active, I would do anywhere between 24 to 72 hours.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Didn't take a lot. I didn't do any extended. I think the longest I've tried extended fasting, I think the longest I did was 6 days. So I did get to 6 days on water.
Water fast. I do like that.
Water fast.
Coffee.
Okay.
Coffee fast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, you know, I love fasting. It's something I still practice to this day. It's very helpful for, you know, once you said the cognitive function is amazing, right? So if you fast and you want to be more productive, time wise and also cognitively, fasting is the way to go. That's exactly what I absolutely
totally agree about. And then the clarity of mind, you know, like I didn't know it, but myself, I was hypoglycemic my entire life. And when I had that 3 o'clock crash in the afternoon, I'd be ready to pass out. And even still, if I eat a lot of bread early in the day or something sweet, I'll still get that hypoglycemic crash. And then when you don't have it, it's like, wow, this is the way it's supposed to be, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's my everyday routine as well, because I notice that, you know, during the day, you know, I get a workout in, I make sure, you know, I'm doing my trading, and I make sure I'm either fasted or super, super low carb. If I do have carbs, it'll be berries, you know, some type of
food. That's great. It's a high fiber, low carbs. I'm also like big into dark chocolate, not too much of it, but just doesn't have a lot of carbs and it's got a lot of other benefits. So, hey, so if you can turn around your health, then you can turn around your wealth, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
So tell us your financial journey, because it sounds like it kind of paralleled your health, your physical journey.
Absolutely. I tell people, to this day, it's very hard to have the wealth without the health. And for me, the wealth came after the health. Once I was able to improve my vessel and get it, you know, firing on all cylinders, I was able to read more books. I remember when you eat a very high carbohydrate, high sugar diet, and you try to read a book.
Oh, forget it.
Falling asleep, right?
Hey, man, this is, I, You know, we're so similar. We grew up in totally different backgrounds. But man, I was eating pretzels and chips before they came up with barbecued potato chips, where the first, in my opinion, the first biohack food, where they put sweet and salt and threw in some vinegar. So you totally short circuit your body's satiety mechanism. And you could just eat like bags of these things. Yes. Worst thing in the world for you. And we didn't know about glycemic indexes, glycemic response. We didn't understand that, you know, the nutrition was telling us, no, low carb, low fat. Don't look at the food pyramid. Just have as much carbs as you want. Don't eat fat because that'll kill you. And it's exactly the opposite. So, and you know, when it comes to building wealth, they tell us all these things.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of deception going on there as well. If there was a wealth pyramid put up by the Department of Treasury, it would be as deceptive as the food pyramid put out by the Department of Agriculture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They want you to, you know, go to school for 40, you know, for 20 years and work a job for 40 and, you know,
that's on you.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay if that's what you want.
Absolutely.
But as a pathway, absolutely. You know, and look, like if you're an average person, you buy a house in your 20s, you get married, you have a job, you work. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's great. And you will succeed. But if you're eating badly, you might die before you get to realize the rewards of your lifetime of labor. So
that's exactly where I was going. Yeah, because you tend to see our grandparents or even our parents, they got to retirement age and couldn't enjoy it because they were sick or they were, you know, keeping up with other sick family members. So maybe they weren't sick, but maybe a husband, a wife, a son, daughter, maybe they were sick. So they had to take care of them. So your whole retirement is down the toilet because you have to work another job and that job is family and sickness. So I see it often, see it a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's so true. And so how did you learn to build wealth and who taught you? You must have had some mentors here.
Absolutely. Okay. Plenty of mentors. So the story for me, it starts, of course, reading books about nutrition, but I'm building a habit of reading books. So now I like reading because where I come from, it's frowned upon. We don't really care for reading where I come from. So I'm starting to like the books. I'm starting to like, you know, to have more information. And so I then say, hey, well, if I could do this with my health just by reading a few books, maybe I could do this with my wealth. So I started reading more and more books, Richest Man in Babylon.
Oh, I love that.
Right.
Acres of Diamonds. I'll bet you did Acres of Diamonds.
Thinking Rich Dad Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich.
I love any books, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So for me, you know, I started there and it opened my brain. It just gives you a clear sight of what you should be doing different than what majority of people are doing. So I started a business as a personal trainer. People saw me I lost so much weight. They're thinking, hey, can you just teach us? Say, hey, of course I can. So I started a personal training business, and this is back in maybe 2013, 2012.
Yeah.
So I started, training, and I knew that I needed to get around wealth because, of course, in Richest Man in Babylon, that's one of the things, see if you can get around, the wealth. So I knew that personal training would be a great area, not only to exercise my superpower, which was how to lose weight at the time, but also I could get around people who could afford personal training, which is usually going to be someone who has decent amounts of money.
Very smart.
So I get around doctors, lawyers, actually one of my best friends that came from my personal training journey. He's a surgeon at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And as I see a lot of my clients struggling with certain habits like nutrition, I'm noticing it's very similar in how the discipline or the lack thereof in the world of finance and success. I noticed that the discipline might be great on the success side, but not so well on the eating and the health side. And I noticed a lot of the people who I personal train and work with their nutrition, they had it together financially, but would struggle you know, in the health.
Sure. I get it.
And I started to tell myself, huh, if I can keep my health together and also get the wealth, I'd be much better than these people. That's the first thing I told myself. And so I'm talking to my, you know, his name is Manny. So I'm talking to Dr. Manny, and I'm thinking, hey, man, I think if you can become a surgeon, a high-level surgeon, went to Brown, went to Harvard, if you can do this and still struggle with discipline in your eating, then I know that there's much more to you and much more that can be done if you tighten up the discipline. So I'm going to practice some of the things you've done, but I'm going to add the discipline to it, and I'm going to reach success just like you did. And we had that talk. He said, man, you're going to be a rich man. Uh-huh. And he had a crystal ball, because it did come true. Plan worked.
That's so great. So, all right. So from personal training, obviously you're not going to be an 8-figure personal trainer. So how did it go from there?
Absolutely not. I did do really well for myself. One of the things I noticed is I hired a coach. He's one of my first mentors. His name was AJ. So AJ put in my head that the only way to reach true wealth is to stop trading hours for dollars.
Yes.
I had to do. And so I noticed that as a personal trainer, it's, hey, pay me. And at the time, it was $100 an hour. So, yeah, I give you an hour, you give me $100. Well, there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many, you know, trainings that you can do a week. So we come up with a hybrid plan to take it to the internet. And this is right around the beginning of Instagram and YouTube starting to blow up. So I decided to start training people online. And instead of trading time for money, I decided to create a system to where I could work with 300, 400, 500 people with maybe half the time,
right,
that I normally would do. So I charged a membership. I started, it was maybe $300 a month. And I started teaching for free on YouTube as far as health goes. This is what we do, just giving value, give value, give value. And the more value I got, the reciprocity pouring on in, and people started signing up. And so I was making $300 a month per person. And so, yeah, we got to my first 100 people, and things started looking pretty crazy. I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is...
You went viral. Huh?
Oh, yeah. This is getting good.
Before we knew what viral was.
That's right. So I'm, blown away, because, 30K a month for me is, back, especially where I come from, is huge.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Sure. Any place you come from. Absolutely. The wealthiest people in society, 30K a month is making a darn good living.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm thinking now, okay, we're on to something. So it starts growing, and it goes from, 100 people, 200 people, goes to 350, 400. I'm thinking, okay, this is way too much money for me. I don't know what to do with it. So I'm stacking money. I'm not spending anything. I kept my Camry. I had a 2010 Camry. I just kept the Camry.
Mark, live beneath your means.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so I'm living in the same apartment that I was in. I just kept saving money and reinvesting into the business. And so my good friend, Dr. Manny, he introduces me to another potential client. His name was Charlie. And Charlie, really good guy. He wants to work with me. He's, I could tell just from his conversation, he's a very rich man, because he had a not so well leg. His leg was pretty messed up. And he goes, hey, if you can help me fix my leg, I'll give you $5 million. And it caught me off guard.
That's one you got to go for, man.
Absolutely, right? So I'm thinking, I'm going, wait a minute. Okay, this guy, he must really have a lot of money to even say something like that. Well, come to find out, Charlie was a billionaire.
Okay, so $5 million for health. That's a good trade.
That's a great trade.
Usually money you can't buy health,
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. I definitely want to work with you. I definitely want to help you heal your leg and strengthen it up. However, I don't want your money. I said, I want the education that you have, the know-how. how did you become a billionaire? What do you do? And I really got introduced at that point to equities. And that's where it all went straight up from there. And I then found out what to do with my money. And, you know, equities and how to get equity in real estate. And, you know, so I bought my first place and things started coming along from there. And over time, you know, things really got well. And that's how we reached those levels of the eight figures.
Really? So so how did Charlie's leg do?
Charlie's leg got a little bit better. It was something that it was nerve damage and it wasn't anything that could be fully healed.
Yeah.
Not by me, you know, without surgery or something.
Because that's what I want to know. I don't care about I don't care about his contacts or anything else. I want to know, like, how Charlie's leg worked out. But, you know, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's like, yeah, when there's damage to your body, there's reversible damage and there's irreversible damage, right?
Absolutely.
And so... The point is you have to prevent that irreversible damage from taking place, and easier said than done. But okay, so now we're swimming with the sharks here, right?
Mm-hmm. And the sharks now.
So if you had to sum up what the difference between wealthy and poor people is, and the middle class, what would that be?
Oh, that's a great question. The number one thing that I've seen, the differences in wealthy versus poor people is poor people tend to spend money on liabilities. We like, you know,
Robert Kiyosaki.
Absolutely, right? We like things. We like material
debt.
Absolutely. And we take out debt for cars. We take out debt for our shoes and the clothes and vacations. And that stuff does not return any money. So you're on the hook to pay that off later. Yeah. So you're borrowing tomorrow's money for today things. And what I notice is that with the wealthy, you know, what we do is we borrow tomorrow's money to invest today.
Yeah.
But an investment pays back the money and brings tomorrow money at the same time. So that was the biggest thing I noticed.
Okay. So, there's what Robert Kiyosaki says, and I've experienced this firsthand. There's good debt, there's bad debt. Good debt enables you to buy assets that bring cash flow and basically pay for themselves. Bad debt is buying, you know, mortgage for a house, which, look, it could be good debt, honestly, during these inflationary times. If you could have gotten a 3% mortgage with the inflation rate as it is now, that's good debt. But, you know, and then cars and things like that, that's bad debt. So, all right. So, but then that's enough to make a few million maybe, but to get eight figures, how does that work?
So with the eight figures, it's a combination of a few things. At this time, I'm investing, this is over a course of, let's see, I met Charlie at maybe 25. So I was 25 when I met Charlie. 34 now. So that was almost 10 years ago. So at the time, I'm investing in things that, and of course, you know, this is one of Robert Kiyosaki's favorite, Bitcoin. And I'm hearing a lot of, you know, trash is, you know, cash is trash. And, you know, get in gold, get in Bitcoin, get in real estate. So, you know, at the time, I'm buying Bitcoin and I'm buying stocks. Yeah, I still buy stocks. I like stocks.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm just piling money into Bitcoin. I'm piling money into, I think I got in Bitcoin at, the first time I bought it, it was at $3,000.
Uh-huh.
And I kept accumulating as high as 11, maybe 12,000.
Yeah.
11, 12,000. And it shot up to 68.
Yeah, I called the peak. I totally called the peak. So the day, me and Master Trader Nick Santiago called the peak of Bitcoin to the day. So got out.
Mm-hmm. And, so I got out. I saw reversal signs because by this time I'm pretty good with technical analysis. I'm looking at the reversal signs and I see a nice big Head and Shoulders foreman. I saw a topping till. I saw a few things. Sellers stepping in at that 68,000. So I was fully out. I sold my last Bitcoin at maybe 65.
Oh man, you got out right at the top. I mean, I didn't buy, but I knew to sell at that peak for sure, because it was a parabolic move. Absolutely. Markets don't support that, and people get sucked in. And you're either dumb money or smart money. All right, so fast forward to today. Where are we today?
So things are looking well today. And I took a lot of the money that I made from Bitcoin, S&P 500. I swing trade options. So things have been going pretty well. So I've invested in a few real estate deals here. And I live in Puerto Rico. So bought a condo, beachfront condo property here in Puerto Rico. And that thing does pretty well performance-wise as well. It's in a rental, so we rent it out. Honestly, we're just looking for the next big thing. I'm checking my charts, and I'm looking and I'm seeing what is the next opportunity. But honestly, I'm seeing some things play out here. So I'm waiting for a pullback in the market here. I feel like the S&P 500 is in a wave down. I think we have a wave C. Down maybe to, I say maybe 3,800 on my S&P 500 is what I'm looking for, as low as maybe 3,000.
I think so. So that's like almost a third of off where it's at today, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're sitting at roughly 43 and some change. So
42, 43. I don't watch it every day because it drives me insane and I'm not a trader.
Yeah.
But it's all good, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm looking at, we had five waves down. I'm looking at the bigger time frame, and I'm looking at, usually when you see a five wave move down, it's usually going to be a bearish move. This bullish move we've seen over the last maybe 6 months, maybe even a year, because I want to say the bottom was October 22.
Yeah.
So the bottom October 22, we had a rally. I think this was our ABC up or corrective move. So I'd like to see a move lower.
Yeah.
At that lower move, I'll definitely be looking to load up, because I see some things of potential 5,000 on the S&P 500. So yeah. I'd like to get in for that move.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we should be selling right now, or should we just get out and wait for it to when do you think it's going to turn around?
I don't think it's going to turn around yet. I personally have us moving up another, I'd say maybe 40. So if we're 42, 4,300 right now, I see maybe 45 before I would like to go short. But I may start adding to a position maybe around 44, 45. So that's, I usually scale in.
You're doing ETFs? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. So I usually trade the spiders. So the SPY, SPY.
Yeah, sure. The S&P 500. Yeah, got it. All right.
Yeah, I like to see a move up just a little bit, and maybe I'll look to fade it down to 400, 380 on the spot. And yeah, I'll be looking to grab some longs so I can take it up over the next few years.
All right, cool. So what about leverage, using leverage? Well, obviously, if you're buying futures, you're leveraging. In general, training people, what do you do?
With training people, I absolutely stay away from leverage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think it's smart, especially starting out. I'd rather people practice with the cheapest or the most or the least risk. So we buy shares. We say, hey, get in. If it moves $5, you lose $5 a share, right? It's something that you can stomach versus, leverage. I've seen some crazy leverage, especially in the crypto world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you see what's happened to sometimes they're so leveraged, they don't even own the actual crypto, like Sam Friedman, right? Sam Bankman-Fried.
Absolutely. So I'm not a big fan of the leverage. Yes, it's a great opportunity if you know exactly what you're doing. But even in my case, I'm pretty good at what I do, and I still don't believe in leverage. Not too much leverage. So to your point, once again, yes, futures, I do like options as well. But I'm not going too crazy with the leverage. And even with trading futures and options, I'm very conservative with my entries. I'm not betting the house. Yeah.
I'm with you 100%. Hey, we want to find out more about you. Want to connect with you on the web. How do you do that?
Absolutely. So I'm pretty active on Instagram. So at TaySweat, TaySweat. Mm-hmm. And there, if you have any questions or anything, just send me a message, a DM. I do answer my DMs. No matter how big my following is, I will answer. All right. So
we got a link in the show notes to your site on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. It's in the show notes for this interview. While you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. Okay. We're going to have you on again because I would have like a lot of topics I want to cover with you. I find your story personally very inspiring. Gives me hope for a lot of people that really don't have hope now. And I get the idea that you give back to the community and you're trying to bring as many people with you as you possibly can. And that's to be commended. Hey, we will talk to you again. If you got a question for Tay or myself, I hope you do. You've been in a situation like Tay, let us know. The email address is kl@carrylutz.com. Tay, you're on our list. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mike. Carrie. Talk soon.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.